WildTalkRadio.com.
It's time for CB Radio Not So Live. Live. Recapping AEW Revolution. With the producer, the intern, and the Keishi. And as the great Tony Schiavone says, for the final time, this is Sting.
He just does it with more excitement. This is CB Radio Not So Live, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com. Twitch.tv/WTLive and CBRadio.com. Chat if you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use Carry Code Rock Sock and Foot Night Item Shop. Hashtag Gaming Partner. If you're looking for the Raw Pro Show, it's not happening tonight because, well, we have AEW to talk about and Lindsay's under the weather, so we might as well jump on early. A half hour earlier than we thought we were tonight, but we're here, we're live, ready to talk all things AEW. I am not alone though. I am joined as always by the intern Kane Kivens.
It's Sting!
That's how he usually says it.
Yeah, that's how he says it. Sounds like Sting. you're in the car, I take it.
I am on remote. Tuning in, and we'll be home in just a bit, but I'm here ready to talk about AEW Revolution.
And joining us for CB Radio Not So Live Live is the one and only Keishi Matsunaga.
Don't worry, Lindsay. I also have some sort of plague, but I'm on the downhill, so you get sick representation anyway?
There you go. She has the plague.
You've got that northern sickness, so therefore, you know, it's the conversion rate.
Yeah. Mine is probably just due to the cold. Let's go with that.
We'll go with that and not because of other things. So, yeah. Hopefully everyone gets better and feels better because being sick this time of year sucks. Any time of year, but it sucks. But we got stuff to talk about because last night was AEW Revolution live from the Greensboro. In case you were wondering, it was in Greensboro. They didn't tell you 1,000 times it was in Greensboro.
What Greensboro? What?
I don't know. What's this bucket? Jay White said Greensboro at least 10, 15, 20 times in one promo on the pre-show.
Yeah, he was doing that cheat face pop of saying the place you're at to get the cheer.
He doesn't work as a babyface, though.
Well, the problem is, so everyone, first match of the night was a 12-man tag match because you gotta squeeze as many people on as you can if you're not gonna put on 14 matches.
Well, I mean, how else are you gonna get the entire Bang Bang Scissor Gang in a match?
Well, that's true. But Tony has decided to turn into the skid that was Max Caster completely flaming out on his rap. What was it, Dynamite?
Yeah.
When he tried, or was it Collision that he did that?
I don't remember the show. I just know I'm now.
It wasn't Dynamite. Because I would have seen this.
Okay, it was either Collision or on the Rampage. But he was coming down to cut a promo on what used to be the Bear Bronson and Bear Boulder tag team, whatever they're called now.
Mm-hmm. Big Sweaty Boys.
Yeah, and he flamed it. I mean, it was like, he got to one part and just...
I'll go back and watch it.
Yeah, it was just like, usually Caster's just on it and on it, and it's like this time he just stopped, and it was like, oh. So they played that up this time around of like, yeah, he goes to cut it, and again he fumbles, you know, like this time on purpose fumbles, and like Jace kind of like picks it up for him, and that's why Jay had to cut the promo after match, is because normally you'd have probably Bowens and Caster play up the, you know, the babyface stuff, but now they needed Jay White to do it.
If that's what they're doing and they're turning it into that skid, God, that you're killing any good part of the act.
Well, yeah, number one, you're killing the part of the act, and number two, look, I know not everyone can be top of card. Mm-hmm. But holy hell has Jay White fallen off, if that's the case. He went from main eventing the last pay-per-view to being...
Well, two pay-per-views ago. Two pay-per-views ago.
No, World's End was the one before this.
It was Joe at World's End.
Oh, you're right. Joe was... So two pay-per-views before this, he was main eventing. And now he's part of a trios tag team holding the belt for a company that they're probably going to phase out most of those titles sometime, you know, in the next 2 years. Because Ring of Honor, what we've learned, is not much.
I feel like they're phased out already. I mean, when Eddie Kingston's holding one of them and you don't, like, really hear about them calling it the ROH World Championship, it's just the Continental whatever.
It's part of the Triple Crown.
Yeah, it just...
They do mention it, it's just they get Excalibur to do it, so unless you understand, like, auctioneer speed talk, you won't catch it.
You won't catch
it. Here's my other question.
Anymore.
So, Kyle Fletcher is the TV champion, and he's been hurt, I understand that. Who's the pure champ again?
I don't case you to know.
Ooh.
I think it's Wheeler Yuta.
Yes, it is. I think Wheeler Yuta still has it.
But that tells you something of the fact you had to sit here for a minute and go, wait, who is that?
Didn't he get hurt too?
No, he's been hurt. And I think he came back for one match in Mexico when they were doing the whole Blackpool CMLL thing.
Oh, okay.
I think he came back for that because they promoted it as an 8-man. But Wheeler Yuta is dead to the world right now.
Yeah.
He's defended it 3 times since November.
Oh, man.
And, and he won it on Rampage, not on the ROA show. It just goes to say what it is.
The sad thing is, this tells you all you need to know about the 12-man tag, that we're talking about something else.
It was a sloppy mess. And Jay White, Austin Gunn, Colin Gunn, Max Caster, Anthony Bowens, and Billy Gunn taking on Private Party, Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, Saddam Singh, and Willie Mack, because they're auditioning people to be part of the Private Party with the Bang Bang Scissor Gang getting the win.
Yeah, the two things about this match that we talked about, that Rock and I kind of talked about on CB Radio when we previewed this. Number one, I didn't know Willie Mack turned heel.
I didn't either. I was looking at this. I'm like, I thought Private Party. What? That's basically.
Well, I knew Private Party was kind of a tweener because
I thought they were kind of good because they just came back and they were with the Hardys
but then they
turned on the Hardys.
Oh, see, I missed that part.
Because they do them in little segments that no one sees.
And then the other thing about this match was, this is proof positive to me of they have no clue what they want or can do with Satnam Singh at all.
Yeah.
Like, he got in there, he hit his big man spots. He blew a chop block that Jay White threw at him. But it's like, you've got... And the problem is like WWE kind of runs into this as well with when you have someone that's like over 7 feet tall. I get it. It's a freakish kind of thing of having someone that big, but it's really hard to work with someone like that because number one, it's hard to match them up against people. And two, it limits their mobility, which makes it hard to perform. That's like when we've seen Almas, it's like, no offense. He's kind of limited in what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not looking to book the big man as an attraction, they're not useful.
Right. And with Satnam Singh, 9 times out of 10, he's just kind of standing there at the ringside and gets tossed. That's his entire role. And then they'll throw him in for an occasional like multi-man tag match because I guess he'll have to wrestle every once in a while. I
feel like it's a lot of roster. How do they have to wrestle once in a while? That's kind of the way it seems.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's why they get to work on the indies, too.
Well, some of them, at least.
Well, the ones that only wrestle every once in a while.
But then you have Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander taking on Julia Hart and Sky Blue. This one's all right.
At least there's some story to it.
Yeah, there's story to it. That's what counts. Even though the TBS title is not being defended at all.
Well, I think Julia's been hurt. We're going to say this a lot about some people. I think Julia was hurt, which is why she hasn't been on TV.
A lot of we think.
Yeah. This match was good for, I would say, about 8/10 of it. And then you got to the end and you realized, like, people were gassed. Willow looked especially gassed by the end. And the only reason I say that is because she experienced the same problem she did with Chris Statlander in the last pre-show match. Which is when she tries to hit that power bomb when she's tired, it's hard for her to get the people up. And we kind of saw that with Sky Blue.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander got the win in this one.
Yeah. Stokely seems to say that Willow is going to get the next shot at the TBS title. Don't know what that's going to do for Chris,
but it seemed like Stokely was kind of planting the seeds for Willow to get the shot.
Causing I mean, she did tension. Win the match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creating tension, though, because you know, he'll be in Chris here. Well, you know, Willow got the shot. Why, you know, stuff like that, though. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of prolonging that bit a little more.
All right, your main show kicks off with Christian Cage defending the TNT Championship against Daniel Garcia. This was a good match, but this goes back to the whole point of you're starting to push somebody and then they lose in the big match. And that's kind of what happened with Daniel Garcia. He got the big push to this match and then fell short.
Yeah, they were hyping him up through the Continental Classic when he finally got the one win in that. Because I want to say in the Continental, he only got one win in the Continental, I want to say.
Yeah, and then they started pushing him a little bit. From that point.
Yeah, then they started to push him. He got the win over Edge to get this spot. I'm sorry, Cliff. And then you put him into this match, and you had Mike Menard there to help, you know, kind of fight the numbers. But Garcia needs something bigger.
He needs a win.
Yeah.
Like, they mentioned he won an ROH title. He won the pure title.
He was... Yeah, he had the pure title. I want to say he took it off of Wheeler Yuta.
Well, let's see. I still have the tab open. Let's see. He beat Wheeler Yuta. Yep, that's the... He had a few days.
Wheeler beat him for it.
Back.
Yep. Wheeler beat Garcia to get it back, and then I think he lost it to Shibata and then got it back from Shibata.
Ah, yes.
I know some things about Ring of Honor.
One of few people that do. This was good, but I felt like a title change could have been needed, and it would have done something because it feels like the TNT title is just, I don't know,
treading water with Christian.
Yeah,
it's getting Dolph Ziggler'd by Christian or The Miz by Christian.
Not even I wouldn't even go that far. It just feels like nothing's changing at all. Like Christian lost the belt.
It's just
edge.
A prop for him.
He doesn't need it to do what he's doing. Mm-mm. He could do all the stuff that he's doing, talking about how he wants to be everybody's father without that title.
Yeah.
So it's like it would have made Daniel Garcia's push. And now Daniel Garcia is going to be back on, hey, I'm doing things, but is it really getting me anywhere type of thing?
He'll end up in a tag match with Matt Menard versus Killswitch and either Nick Wayne or Christian Cage.
Mm-hmm. But it's wrestling's biggest problem when you're trying to push somebody and you don't have a spot for them. Clearly it's Christian and Copeland for the TNT title, so Daniel Garcia doesn't fit, so he was the subplot to it for this month.
Yeah.
Especially with another pay-per-view coming up in about 6-7 weeks from now.
Oh, dang.
Oh yeah, they announced that.
AEW Dynasty on April 21st, so we have that looking forward to that. So Christian Cage is still your TNT champion. You then had Brian Danielson and Eddie Kingston for the Continental Crown.
These two guys beat the high holy hell out of each other.
I was just about to say the same thing. Holy paintbrush.
My favorite part about that, I'm not normally an Eddie Kingston fan. I can appreciate what he does, and like he takes stiff shots. He gives out, you know, like hard shots, and the shotgun chops are just not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the fact that for 99% of the people, you pull down the straps to pull off a big move, right? You know, Big E does it when he's going to deliver like the big ending, or Wardlow does it when he's going to deliver the power bombs and everything.
Yep.
Eddie Kingston pulls down the straps to get kicked in the chest by Daniel Bryan.
Well, you know, those straps add a lot of padding, protect himself from those kicks.
This match started to highlight one of my big problems with this pay-per-view. I know that there are certain spots where like people will take a move and will for a split second not sell it.
Ah.
But there were a lot of times in this, and especially in the main event, where you would have someone get hit by one or two like big moves and they no-sold the shit out of it. And it was supposed to be that like, oh, they're hulking up, or oh, you know, it's just like the adrenaline hitting. If it happens once, it's, you know, if Sting does it once, it's like, yeah, he's Sting. The fact it happened in about 4 different matches on the night is a problem, because it just shows you that like, yeah, people just aren't selling shit, or there's no communication between agents of like, this is a spot we want to use in our match.
I think it's the former. It just seems like that taking a big thing and then just like pumping up and coming back with something else is a very popular thing in wrestling right now.
Well, and we saw a little bit of it in like Takeshita and Ospreay. We saw it in, you know, the main event. You see it in like, you know, Adam Page will get hit with something and then he just like roars back. Moxley does it every match.
Yeah.
Like he'll take like a pile driver and he just stands right back up. And it's like, I understand it's supposed to be, oh, he's a tough guy. But then what it does is it completely devalues whatever they got hit with. And, you know, we've long said, you know, problems with, you know, oh, the super kick means nothing. Or, you know, the Canadian Destroyer used to be this epic move. And now it's, you know, you're throwing three back to back to back with Orange Cassidy and Penta. It just,
yeah,
it loses mystique. And so when everyone is just not selling something, it makes me go, well, then why am I watching this if all it's going to be is Cirque du Soleil? I want to watch that instead. I'd rather see someone get hit with something and be like, ooh, you know, he kicks out at two. That's psychology. Instead of, you know, oh, he gets hit with a pile driver. He stands up at one. It's like, well, what was the point of that?
In the end, Eddie Kingston got the win.
Ryan had to shake his hand.
He did. I enjoyed this match.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was good because it showed the frustration of Brian throughout the entire thing. Your whole bit of Eddie Kingston winning the Continental Classic is to show, like, you know, he's not a bum. He's not a loser anymore.
Yeah. And like they said it on commentary too, just like Brian went in with a strategy and he lost his cool and that's not what he wanted. And that's probably what cost him the match.
Yeah. Brian's whole thing was, I want to get Eddie Kingston pissed off and I can get in his head. And Kingston was controlled the whole time. And so it's like, well, shit, that didn't work.
No, it did not work for him on this night. I'm curious to see what they do with Brian X because he seems to be losing a lot of big matches, but maybe that's what he wants to do on his way out as full-time. We'll see. Up next, it is bacon and eggs. Bacon and scrambled eggs, I should say. Not your big beefy men meat madness match. It was the all-star eight-man scramble. Wardlow, Powerhouse Hobbs, Lance Archer, Chris Jericho, Brian Cage, Hook, Magnus, not Nick Aldis, and Dante Martin.
Hey, you got meat madness for like 2 minutes.
They served up some meat, those eggs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they tried.
Yeah, but this... I mean,
it was something.
It was something. There were a lot of missteps and missed times in this match. I noticed a lot of like cues being missed, a lot of like stutters. If overall this one was probably, and I mean, not counting the main event super car crash, like the like 300 car pileup that you see in a Blues Brothers movie type of car crash. This was like the sloppiest match of the night. For me,
you legitimately could have done Wardlow versus Jericho versus Hobbs versus Hook and had a really good match.
Yeah.
You did not need the others because you would have taken Wardlow, Jericho, Hook, and Hobbs and made them four top contenders for the world title, and actually all four of them legitimately would have had a chance to win.
Yeah.
Well, and that's something that we talked about on Saturday beforehand. You know, previewing the match, it's like, okay, this is for a future world title shot.
Yeah.
No offense. You crossed out, like you said, four names immediately. Dante Martin? No. Magnus? No. I don't care if CMLL has a agreement. He's not getting that shot.
No.
No.
But Lance Archer is not. Brian Cage at this point is not. No.
I'm sorry. Tell me the last time Lance Archer was relevant. I know he had a world title shot already, but tell me the last time he was relevant.
Maybe 2 years ago. And that's ballparking. Maybe. That's a ballpark. It's a ballpark guess.
Yeah. It's just, this was Tony Khan trying to put a match together. It failed before it even came together. So he half announced something and then had to pull back on it and then created this eight-man scramble to cover.
Wardlow. World champ is now next up for the world title.
Well, not necessarily next up, just he has a guaranteed shot.
That's what I mean, but he better win it, because what's the point after that?
You rebook him in his 15th reset?
No, this is the one, we promise.
Yeah, put him in another faction? Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that's what you do with Powerhouse Hobbs.
Well, I mean, at least they gave Wardlow a chance to talk in this faction. That's a step up.
They give him a chance to talk. And he has the dumbest gimmick as part of this new faction. I'm going to pose on the Titantron during my match.
Yeah, well.
Everybody needs something to do? I don't know.
I was going to say, the sad thing is, that's what you have to do when, unfortunately, the man seems like a personality vacuum. Well, the last time they tried to do something interesting with him was when they did the whole, like, you know, oh, he got his hair cut and it's because of his dad. But no one cared.
No one cared. He had a look, then they cut his hair, now he has messy hair, and like, oh, it looks like he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like I said, they tried to do something with it, it failed, and now they're just like, oh, shit, we don't know anymore.
Yeah.
It feels like he's regressing than you know, going forward. So, we'll see what happens, but he beat Dante with the powerbomb for the win, so There you go. The International Championship is on the line. Roderick Strong challenges Orange Cassidy. They did the beforehand. Oh, yeah, he has to. Orange is cleared, but he has to be tape his, you know, ribs up. So they taped his ribs up. I mean, the match was fine.
I liked it. I thought, I mean, as far as the match is concerned and everything leading up, they told a good story of like, you know that Roderick Strong's going to target the back. They've targeted his back the whole time. So at least, I don't know, the focus was there.
It was. They mentioned Orange Cassidy has the most wins in AEW.
Well, now that Jack Perry has left, yeah.
Is he gone or still just suspended?
When he made his New Japan appearance, he tore up his AEW contract. So in theory, he's no longer with them.
Who knows for sure?
I think it's mostly just they have no clue what they're doing with him. So it's like, yeah, you go work there if you want to for a little while. We'll call you back.
Go on excursion. Enter the Super Juniors.
Pretty much. Let him do something different for a while and get his
name. Why not?
But Roderick Strong is your new international champion. The point of bringing up Orange Cassidy having all those wins, it's like, it's a lot. I think he needs a month off of TV.
Well, and hopefully that's kind of where they go with this.
Yeah.
You know, they talked about like, he had what? I think it was like 31 or something title defenses before he lost it. And then 16. Once he won it back, it was like 12 or something like that. So yeah. Like telling that story about like, and then even they mentioned like after his first title run, his body was so beaten up and there's no guarantee that he fully healed when he got the title back for the second run. So they can take him off TV for a little bit. And they've already kind of planted the seeds of as to, you know, why he won't be there, because like he was a fighting champion. He was the quote unquote workhorse champion. And like, and now it's time for him to like go get himself fixed so that he can come back to a big pop and something else.
Well, and Orange Cassidy, Brock, you'd mentioned this before. I think Orange Cassidy needs to step away for a bit in order to kind of let that character breathe a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be pulled back just a little bit. I know he draws ratings and all these things, and they need those people right now for the quarter hours.
Yeah, but he benefit huge for like time off and a big comeback.
Oh yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He needs it, though. He needs to step away.
Absolutely.
Afterwards, after the celebration, Kyle O'Reilly showed back up.
For a second, it took you a minute to figure out who the hell it was.
Oh, I knew who it was right away.
Well, it's just like with the longer hair. The funny thing is like I saw the camera was really tight on Roderick, and you saw this little like streak behind him. And at first I thought, did some fan just jump the fucking rail? I mean, no one like rushed over. So I was like, it's gotta be something. And then all of a sudden, like they jumped up on the apron. I was like, oh, okay. It's a work. It's fine.
He hugged him. And then, they offered him a shirt. And then he was like, no, he gave it right back.
Well, I mean, it came off of Mike Bennett for God's sake, like get him a fresh shirt for come on.
Well, I mean, at least it wasn't like gross and sweaty.
Not true. Mike Bennett really wasn't doing anything, so.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like Matt Taven's shirt was probably a little greasier.
Yeah, and his also had no sleeves, so.
Exactly. So, I mean, of the two choices, I think we went with the better one. But also, maybe he wants to get that shirt from Adam Cole, baby.
Well, and the other thing is like, I know Kyle's been away for a little while, but Jesus, it looks like he hasn't slept at all.
I was going to say, the bags under his eyes.
He probably hasn't. He's probably been, like, running 24 hours to try and get his shit right.
Because he looked tired.
Yeah, and like, when he first got in the ring, I was kind of like, oh, okay, it's Kyle. And then it's like that shot from when he was heading up the ramp. I went, oh, Kyle, go take a nap, please.
Anyway. So there you go on that one. Up next, it was FTR taking the Road Warriors, Mox and Claudio.
Okay, that was good. Seeing them come out with the shoulder pads and the spikes.
It was fine.
That was fun. Cool.
Match was good.
Oh, they smacked into each other. Between the chops and the uppercuts, they weren't taking it easy on one another.
Is this the third match they've had or the second?
This is the... Wait, the match?
Yeah.
This is the second match, because the first one went to a time limit draw.
Okay.
Yeah, because FTR hit the Shatter Machine, like, right at the time.
Okay.
And that's why they made the big note of, this is a 30-minute match instead of a normal 20. And they pointed that out on the commentary. Excalibur had noted that. But you had also had a singles match between Dax and Moxley. That kind of set it up as well.
Okay. I knew it was some combination of the three. I just forgot it was the singles the first time. Okay.
Yeah.
But Claudio and Mox got the win.
Dax got busted open.
Yeah, he did.
Although someone else took a very much dumber busting open later in the night.
We'll talk about here.
Oh boy.
So, not surprising, Mox and Claudio needed the win. FTR is probably going to take a break, maybe. We'll see. Depends what happens. Legal issues and whatnot coming up. I think next month for him? For
Wheeler? No, Rock, that's the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, not the... Never mind.
Oh, bad form. Funny, but I don't know.
Wow, Brent, just, anyway, moving on. Up next, the AEW Women's Championship is on the line. Toni Storm, Deonna Purrazzo, Mariah May as Toni Storm.
That took me a second. When she first came out, I was like, did Toni put extensions in it? Oh, it's Mariah, never mind.
Well done.
She pulled it
off. Yeah, it was... It was really nice to see that, because Deonna had set up, like, she wants her old friend back. She wants, you know, not this crazy 30s Hollywood version. And so what do? Bring out Mariah as old Toni. And it's like, oh, well played.
This match was all right. It wasn't anything blow away. The ending felt like a TV finish.
Mm. Yeah, it's hard because it really never felt like they were going to put the belt on Deonna as she's starting with the company. And that's one of the things I don't like sometimes about, like, when someone debuts in AEW, it's like, ooh, we're going to hotshot them. Not to a title, but we're going to, like, hotshot them into a program for a title, but they'll never win it. And it's like, but what are you doing with that? It's like, okay, I understand they're coming in as, like, a hot commodity, but they lose that belt, and now what are you going to do with Deonna?
Mm-hmm. Good question, because I don't have an answer for it.
Yeah, you're almost better starting them off low to mid and then building them up, even though, like, they, you know, someone like Deonna comes in with a name, but you get more out of her if she kind of comes in with like not the highlighted women's program.
Well,
here's your problem. You're missing a mid-card talent for them to feud with.
Yeah,
you don't have that. You're missing Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, right now. You're missing that type.
And where is she?
Apparently getting healthy. But you're missing that type of talent with who's established for them to fight. Because you have your main eventer in Toni Storm. Then you have your middle of the card for the TBS title in Julio and Willow and Sky and Statlander. Yeah, but there's nothing really, like, there's no one in between.
Well, and here's the other problem is when you're only featuring one woman's match essentially per show.
And also Ruby's in a dating angle.
Yeah, you're not giving anyone a chance to get to that point.
And everyone beat Queen whatever, what was her name?
Aminata.
Yeah, her.
Anna Jay. Except for Anna Jay. That's what got Aminata her contract.
Yeah. Oh. So, but you need... With a ranking system, you would think there would be a better structure. And you brought back Serena Deeb and whatnot, but you don't... The women's division needs more structure. Maybe come big business in Boston, maybe there's more of a structure coming. Or it's just Toni versus the boss. We'll see.
Well, and then I know that Toni has been talking up, you know, the former NWA champion Camille. The problem is, if you're going to bring her in, you want her to be a big deal, but that doesn't, you know, that doesn't help play into this, you know, we need to build a mid card, because if you're bringing her in, you're going to want to be like, oh yeah, she's a former NWA women's champion, that means she's credible, instead of we need to build mid.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see what happens come Boston for big business. Osprey, Takeshka, really good.
Oh man,
match itself was great. The build for it, I still have questions about. But these two beating on each other and putting on the match they did, I have to say it was entertaining as hell.
Yeah, it was. Wow.
The one thing I will say, whichever agent, whichever person is working with Will Ospreay, Takeshka, whoever, moving forward, that does a top rope brainbuster, take that out of the rotation.
Did you see his backside?
Boy, yeah. Sure it's worse today.
Oh yeah. Mm. And he talked about it on the press conference. He's just like, oh dude, it's hurting bad. He's lucky he didn't end up on his head on the mat.
You can tell that it hurt because when he was on the ground, he was literally pointing at it to the ref.
Oh yeah, he was telling the ref, my back is fucked right now.
Yeah. Like, you don't do that in the middle of a match unless it's like legitimately in rough shape.
But yeah, Ospreay got the win. Good match. Really good
as
match.
He should have.
Yeah.
When is... And now he's wrestling Kyle Fletcher on Wednesday.
Maybe.
Oh.
Well, because the backside, if he's cleared. And...
Ah, yes.
He said on the press conference he has to talk Tony into not canceling the match because of it. But yeah, so the Don Callis got that one booked too. So
he's just everyone going. In the family's fighting each other now. I don't know how this works, but okay.
I feel like it's probably a low key way to like pump up Ospreay and get him out of the family.
I figure it's going to be Ospreay breaks off because I feel like Ospreay is going to be a face out of this to start.
Yeah, well, look at his crowd reaction.
Oh yeah,
and like. Yeah, the only time he gets booed is when like Don Callis is either checking on him or shaking his hand.
And it's really not him getting booed, it's Don getting booed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and also I feel like, you know, with Kenny not there, with Joe and, I mean, Swerve is kind of turning face. I think
he turns
Paige heel.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I think just with the way that the top of the card is shaping up, you need Ospreay to be a face to fill that kind of void. And I know that they do a lot of like, oh, but, you know, Moxley and Claudio are tweeners and Joe can be that, you know, either or. You really need someone that people can just rally behind initially and not just like, oh, in this spot, let's cheer this guy.
Yeah, you have to have. I mean, the like definition of a pure baby face is different than way back in the day.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, you need to have someone that is going to be in every match the good guy.
And then a match where I don't think anyone is a traditional good guy. It is your main event, as they called it, for the world championship.
Yeah. Oh, man. When Renee said that on the pre-show, I messaged Rock like, are they really going to make this the main event?
Everyone was wondering. They said it multiple times.
Well, I think they're trying to say, like, oh, the world championship is, like, the main event. And then the final match was just a showcase.
Which they could have said, but they never said the final match. Our final match of the night would be Sting and whatever.
Right.
They always said this was the main event. But it's main event. Samoa Joe, Swerve Strickland, and Hangman Page in a three-way for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. It ended exactly how we thought, Brent. Paige tapping out, so Swerve does not get the championship.
I do have to say, I liked the storytelling throughout this match of Paige doing everything he could to prevent Swerve from winning. And and there are moments even where, like, Swerve, I can't remember if it was like Swerve had hit a buckshot or he'd done something where Joe was down.
Yeah, with the buckshot. Yeah.
And Swerve, like, for a moment, looked towards Joe and then went to Adam Page again. And it was just like, oh, you had the chance, you son of a bitch.
Well, I mean, I think that was right towards the end of the match because he had...
It was.
Yeah, because he had taken out Joe and he could have pinned him, but then he looked at Page, got Page, and then that's kind of what cost him.
Yeah, but Page takes out two referees during this match.
Boy, did he ever.
Just to make sure Swerve did not win the title. Yeah.
That second one, that ref must have owed him money the way he laid into him.
Poor guy.
Adam Page bought him a beer in the back. I'm sorry, dude. I had to do this.
Yeah.
But, ultimately, it's the right call for now. Joe is the right person to have this belt, at least for a little bit after MJF's year-long run.
Mm-hmm.
Swerve, you're still you're still, in a way, like, situating him almost in that face role, just because the crowd has made him so.
Yeah.
They love themselves some Swerve, and so now you're like, well, shit, we have to kind of...
You did all these bad guy things, and now you gotta figure out a way to have it make sense to be a babyface.
Yeah, you can reform him, and in a way, it's like you don't really have to change the character, but like you said, he broke into a man's house and was creeping on his baby son. That doesn't scream, cheer me.
But in AEW...
Yeah, but in that fan base, it's, you know, we like ourselves some of this, and it's like, okay, but you have to at least separate yourself from that moment a little more to justify, like, okay, yeah, cheer him if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't remember the home invasion stuff.
Just forget, even though they bring it up.
Yeah, that doesn't help with the time. The announcers.
No. Really, well, I mean, Swerve brought it up too.
Yeah, he brings it up as well.
So. In a promo, he's like, I'm still that guy who almost hung a man in the chain. I'm still that guy who broke into another man's house. You're like, okay.
Let's not admit to crimes on television with a camera running, please.
Let's cheer him. Anyway. So, Joe, still your world champion for now. Swerve, they're going to have this problem. Both Swerve and Wardlow need to win this title, and only one of them can, so...
Well, and the thing is if you have Wardlow win, I feel like that's got to be around the time that Adam Page comes back, because the whole thing with Wardlow is, remember, the whole prophecy is, Wardlow's going to win the belt and hand it to me.
To Cole, yeah.
And it doesn't make sense for Wardlow to win it now, if Adam Cole is still going to be a couple of months away from being there.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Well, they gave him he has a title shot. He has the next one, so...
Well, like I said, not necessarily the next one, but it could be like a Money in the Bank thing where it's just sitting there.
I think that's not smart, but we'll see. All right, let's talk about it. This is the match that everyone went to see. 16,000 plus people came to see this match. It is your main event. It is Sting's retirement match for the AEW World Tag Team titles. It is Sting and Darby Allin taking on the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. At rings before this, you had Ric Flair come out, okay? Then you had Ricky Steamboat as the timekeeper.
All right.
Then you had Nikita Koloff and Magnum TA in the crowd, and also Scotty Riggs. One and plus one, and it goes Scotty Riggs.
One of these things is not like the others.
Listen, Scotty Riggs got Kevin Nash's chair because Kevin Nash couldn't make it.
There you go. Scotty Riggs was also announced.
He was the understudy.
He was. They didn't mention from Raven's Clock. They mentioned from the American Males. American Males. American Males. That's what they said. That's what they called him.
Hey, Young Bucks. Hey. At least he's the one from the American Males you can actually still talk about.
American Males.
Well, no, they're both like they're both profiled on DDP's YouTube page about a redemption story.
Mm-hmm.
Like together.
Which is good.
Oh. Yeah.
Because they're American Males. American. Anyway, Young Bucks had robes and things and fancy entrance. They now shoot off business cards instead of money.
Which is actually funny. A funny touch.
Then you had Sting in the movie theater watching things back, all alone, one final showtime.
There's a lot missing from that promo package.
Boy, howdy isn't there.
There was a gap. And you cannot say, oh, it's because WWE didn't give them the WCW footage. There was plenty of WCW in that package.
TNA. TNA.
There was the 10-year TNA gap, but not a single photo. You missed. Nitro ended, and then he's back in AEW 24 years later. There was a gap, but it was well done. So let's do this. You then had Sting come out, Darby come out, and then you had Sting's come out. You know, his son is Surfer Sting, which Jack. And then his other son, dressed in gear I've never seen him wear.
Hey, look, the Wolfpack years were a little bit crazy, okay?
No, but the color scheme was reversed for the Wolfpack gear.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, he had that gear made.
And never wore it.
Back then, and then never got around to wearing it before the whole, like, black and white merger thing happened. That'd be my guess. Maybe. And then he's probably just like, aw, finally, we can get this gear out.
I mean, that's possible, but, like, it was one of those things where Wolfpack's thing was black and red, not red, and then black. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then everyone came in, did stinger splashes in the corner, which was unique.
Then everything came out from under the ring.
And everything just sort of spiraled.
Look, we knew there was going to be shenanigans in this match, but dear God.
Yeah. Darby it was like I said before. It's like those scenes in the Blues Brother movies where there's like a 300 car pileup.
Darby Allin has a death wish.
Oh, God.
That's just the...
They brought out the one pane of glass, and my first instinct was, no, no, no. And then they put the one on the chairs, and I instantly knew what was going to happen, and it was just, I don't want to watch this.
Do we think it was real glass?
Oh,
yes.
It was real. With what happened on his back, that's real.
Yeah.
This is where I look, and I wouldn't normally agree with this person, but this is where I look and go, CM Punk is right. This is where Like, when people are just like, oh, I don't, you know, don't have to listen to it. I'm like, I know what I'm doing. No, you don't, because of what happened.
Mm-hmm. So, the ending of this match, or not even ending, it's the ladder spot. So, he set up, he dove off the ladder onto the glass, and you go, you question his sanity for a minute.
Yeah. Even the setup for it, where, like, Nick is in the way of the glass, but, like...
He overshoots it.
How he jumped off the ladder versus how he was supposedly supposed to hit Nick Jackson, just the setup didn't compute to me. Like, he just kind of, like, punched Nick and then started climbing up the ladder. I'm like, but shouldn't he, like, lay him down on the glass or something? Like, what's going on? Why is he going up?
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know, the whole setup for it did not track for me. It was weird. And I'm like, as he was climbing up, I'm like, so he's just gonna jump, and, like, without the replay of Matt pulling Nick out of the way, the first thing I thought was, like, why did he just do that with nobody there?
Yeah.
And then I heard, oh, Matt pulled Nick out of the way. I'm like, he what? And then they showed the replay, and I'm like, okay, I guess.
Oh, I see now.
Yeah. I get, but, like, in my mind the whole time, I'm like, why is he climbing the ladder? He didn't put Nick on the pane of glass. What's going on?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
No, it made like 0.5% more sense once I saw that Nick was standing in front of the pane of glass. And I know you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes.
Yeah.
Nick was smart. He knew, I'm not going to get on that glass any shape or form, not even going to let him a sniff to try to even put me through it. Nope.
Yeah.
He was the smartest man.
Which says a lot when we're talking about the Young Bucks.
Oh, by the way, 12 stitches.
Oh, okay.
Only 12.
GG's.
Well, that's because a lot of those little holes that got poked into them, you can't stitch closed. They're kind of like thumbtack pokes.
Yeah, no, there was the one, like, wound that was on the left side.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we got all of them. That really was bad. And then they taped them up so we could continue. So this was now where it was 2-on-1 on Sting. So Flair got involved. He got super kicked and looked dead on the mat. Steamboat got taken out. He got double super kicked. Belt shots. So it was all the big comeback for Sting. Sting would eventually overcome it all after taking the EVP trigger and everything like that.
Twice. Well, and this is where Sting hulked up one too many times, in my opinion.
But for the final time, it was fine. Like, the one big hulk up at the end was fine, because Sting just sat up, got looked up in the sky, and was like, I got one more of me, and did it. Dropped him with the coffin, the scorpion death drop, got two count. Then we got a coffin drop and the scorpion death lock as Matt Jackson tapped out. Your winners and still tag team champions, Sting and Darby Allin, in Sting's final match.
There was that one moment where the Bucks were absolutely snarky and playing off of the whole retirement stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When they looked at Sting, both of them, and just said, we don't love you. Or no, was it? No, we're not sorry. We hate you.
Yeah.
Boom, super kick. And then Sting kicked out at 1. And it was like, oh.
Then you got the big celebration. The confetti gets shot off. Sting celebrates.
Into Darby's wounds.
Darby's like, all right, now we got 3 more minutes. Let's give it up for Sting. And then Sting starts to talk and does a speech and everything like that. And
he got Excalibur.
Darby keeps trying to check in on him and say, hey, this is what they're like. Darby's being fed everything from the ringside, and you see them being feeding him. You got to tell Sting to wrap it up. And the final thing Sting will ever say as an active pro wrestler on television or pay-per-view is, hold on, I'm getting cues.
Yeah.
And his career is over. Hold on.
40-year professional. Hang on, I'm getting cues.
He would then bring out Tony Khan afterwards and got the send-off and whatnot. But his final line on television is, an active performer, hold on, I'm getting cues. GG's on timing. This is what happened. Here's what you needed to do. You needed to take one match off the show and give him, or cut time from all the, like, every match get cut off by like 2 minutes every match to give him the 10 minutes at the end of the show.
which is what everyone wanted to see.
Yeah. You wanted to see the ending, the proper ending, not on YouTube.
Well, I still had problems with the end of this match personally, but that's just me.
Why?
Because now you have to go on to Dynamite and explain what's going to happen with the tag team titles.
Vacated and tournament, they announced.
That is...
Television that they have now. Huh? Think of all the great television they have now.
I understand, but here's my question. What does that do for Darby Allin now?
He's climbing a mountain.
That's, you know what? That's super. And I know he's going to get, you know, he needs stitched up and probably a psych eval.
Well, he's going to climb a mountain and probably try snowboarding down it or something.
First, he's fighting Jay White in 2 weeks, a big business in Boston, and then he's going to go climb Mount Everest. So he's gone for a minute. He got his doctor note. He's out. So after he loses to Jay White, then it doesn't really matter. He'll come back and do something. Because he has to reboot himself because he's no longer Sting's buddy. He has to be Darby Allin again.
I know. But I mean, the whole thing with Sting was supposed to be to elevate Darby Allin.
And it kind of did by the end.
It kind of did, but here's the biggest thing. When Sting walked out, what did his nameplate say?
Sting?
Sting, 28-0.
As Darby's tag team partner.
Who got the win last night? And I understand it's his retirement match, but who got the win last night?
Sting, and a lot of them early on was Sting.
Not even early on. Throughout most of that run, it's Sting getting the pin. And that's been my biggest problem with all of this, is everyone talks about how you should use veterans, but they have no problem with Sting picking up win after win after win after win. It should be Darby.
Well, here's the thing. This is Tony Khan playing fantasy booker and giving Sting his send-off. That's what this was. That's what the last 3 years was. Is it right business? No, but that's what it was.
And I know that he gets to have his tournament now. I know he's going to like, oh, look at all these great tag team matches. But, you know, I'll say this, the tag team division has kind of fallen from when it first kicked off AEW.
A lot of the divisions have fallen off.
And I'll give you a perfect example. Hey, Rock, who got released today? Or who do we find out got released?
Mike Santana.
Remember when Proud and Powerful came into AEW, everyone was saying they should win the titles. They should be featured. Nothing ever came from it. They ended up breaking up. And it's And I've read a lot of people have said, like, this was a ball being dropped.
Okay.
And a lot of those existing tag teams that were out there are kind of just floating. You know, Best Friends, are they really credible anymore? Private Party?
They have a lot of work to do. That is for sure.
Yep.
Anyway, Brent, housekeeping.
All right, housekeeping. We had 11 matches featured on this show. And in eighth place, finishing dead last, going 3-8, was the 8-Ball.
Slightly His outlook better. Was not so good.
No, outlook was not good for that. Slightly better at 4-7 is our resident booker, one and only, Tim Stein.
I mean, that's pretty good for someone who doesn't watch the project.
Here's where, so you say someone who doesn't watch the product and, you know, all that kind
like,
of stuff.
But like, he also doesn't know like 98% of the names. He knows like Sting and Ric Flair and Jeff Jarrett.
Okay, I want you to hold on to that thought for just 10 seconds.
Okay.
So Tim went 4-7, tied for fifth place, going 7-4, the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks, and Subway.
Do neither of them watch the product either?
They don't watch the product.
Rock?
No. No.
Do they know Sting and Ric Flair?
Yes. And Rob Van Dam.
Okay. Well, shit.
And Rob Van Dam.
And they did 3 matches better. And
well, Tim can't say that at least I'm not on his side sometimes.
Casey's trying.
Keep going, Brent.
And then tied for first place, going 8-3, is Lindsay, our AEW expert.
Who does not watch the product.
She knows names.
She knows names.
Yes. And then everyone on this call went 8-3.
She doesn't
Rock, you did not start the night off well, though.
No?
No, you were at one point 1-3.
Okay, I turned it around.
Yeah, you went on a back-end sweep for that show.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, that's our show.
We will see you all in 6 or 7 weeks.
6 or 7 weeks for another edition of CBRO Nuts Alive, live right here on the Wild Talk Network. The action continues tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the start of the... Tonight was officially the start of daily content. Started this afternoon with some WWE 2K24. We'll do tomorrow night at more 2K24 content. As the video game is now officially released, if you pre-ordered content, so go download and play WWE 2K24 now available Both tomorrow night, we'll do the start the showcase mode tomorrow, and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night on The Rack, we're going to review the game, so we'll talk all things about WWE 2K24 this Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern. I've been playing the game for a minute or two, so I'll give thoughts and opinions, and we'll dive deep into that. Friday, Fortnite, new season kicks off, which means we kick off the brand new series on this channel, this network, whatever you want to call it, WTR Game Night. 10-ish p.m. Eastern, we'll be live with Fortnite playing the new season. So everyone's welcome to join us and play and have some fun. We will also be playing on Saturday for WTR Game Night, more Fortnite. And going forward, we're going to be mixing in different games for Game Night. That's why it's now Game Night on Saturdays. So more content. Speaking of content, Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, the CB Radio Live. Over the Greater Than Great Debate and more. Sunday is WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio. We're going to talk more Sting this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show at 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. Remember, chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit code Rockets on the Fortnite Lamp Shop or Epic Games Store, especially when you buy brand new battle passes of gods and preachers and things that are coming up this Friday. With hashtag Epic Partner. Casey's on the socials.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Kyle Driver. I post once a year and on each of them, usually the same thing. But in the description is a link to my merch store because this is about the only time I ever push it. So if you want to go and take a look and you know, just click on it and be like, oh, I went there. We're cool. I'm not going to know. I appreciate it either way.
Brent's on socials.
Yes, I am on socials. As you may have noticed last weekend, if you followed Twitter, there was a certain live tweeting that took place live from a show that was going on in Australia, which meant I was up at like 3 o'clock my time until about 7 a.m., watching this show and tweeting about it.
Good and for then, you.
And then dealing with Rock's timed tweets that just made me question.
That was funny.
Indeed.
Oh my god, that first one I was just like, if that son of a bitch is actually up right now, I'm gonna lose it.
Not even close to being up. Anyway, this
nope,
been,
not awake.
This has been CB Radio Not So Live, live right here on Wild Talk Radio. We'll see you back here for another edition of this on April 22nd, because the 21st is the pay-per-view. So we'll reconvene then. But we'll see you. I'll be here all week long providing you content on WWE 2K24, Fortnite, podcasts, all you name it. All week long, along there is the Wild Talk Radio. She's live right here at wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live, and where else, Brent?
CBRadioLive.com.